Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car once again, this time following Purdue's 57-50 loss at number 17, Maryland. Normally, I would be in my car driving back to Baltimore from College Park doing this podcast, as I was a year ago. This time, I'm just kind of driving around town, just driving to random places, doing this to keep routine, because perhaps you might have heard that my flight to Baltimore got canceled. And such is life when you cover Big Ten basketball sometimes, especially the Big Ten more sprawled out than ever geographically. So I had to watch on TV, same as you guys. So regardless, the beat goes on. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So Purdue loses 57-50 to number 17 Maryland. Obviously, Purdue now 0-4 on the road in Big Ten play. Very similar story in this one. You'll recall Purdue played at Nebraska some time ago, started the game disastrously, went on to lose. Went to Illinois next a month later or so, started the game disastrously, lost. Went to Michigan thereafter, looked okay, but had it not turned the ball over so much in the first half, you know, it would have looked a lot better. Today against Maryland, whether it was Purdue, whether it was Maryland, whatever it was, Maryland led 20-4 to start the game. Kind of a hard thing to overcome when you're playing on the road in the Big Ten, especially this year when it's so hard to score away from your home arena. And Purdue made a hell of a run in the second half to get within three, but the you know, people can look at it like, well, Purdue didn't do what it needed to do after getting within three. I tend to look at it like, well, if you weren't down 20-4, then it wouldn't have mattered. So Purdue's got to find a way to start these games better on the road. They've got to find a way to play like they're playing after they kind of course correct in game to make things a little bit more competitive. You know, had they not started so poorly at Nebraska, they would have won that game because they were clearly the better team. Maybe they weren't necessarily that day. They couldn't make shots to save their life, but they are the better team. Purdue had no chance at Illinois. That was just a total malfunction. But if Purdue doesn't turn the ball over so much again at Michigan, you know, that might be a totally different game. Purdue course corrected against Michigan and played a lot better. They did as well at Nebraska when they put themselves in position to potentially even win that game in the final few minutes before Matt Harms got hurt, despite, you know, atrocious shooting both from three-point range and right at the basket. So Purdue's got to find a way to start these games better, whether that's maturity, whether that's toughness, whether that's preparation, focus, the year-long, all-context-apply boogeyman of concentration. I don't know, but Purdue's got to start these games better or else they're not going to win any of them. And if they don't win any of these games away from Mackey Arena, Northwestern aside, they aren't going to play in the NCAA tournament, and they're certainly not going to compete for a Big Ten title. That seems a long way off anyhow. But I want to keep mentioning it because last year did prove that anything is possible at all times. Why did Purdue even have a chance this game? To me, it was no Jel Easter. You know, he always rebounds. He always defends at a very high level to the point where his contributions are generally always there. People get hung up on scoring, which is fine. But they, in so doing, they also tend to overlook the stuff that's where his value lies most. Sorry, I got a little tongue twisted there. Today it was everything. Today he again defended and rebounded at elite levels, but he also scored. Seems to be getting a little bit more comfortable, seems to be a little more confident, seems to be a little more aggressive, seems to not be as averse to the foul line as maybe he was early in the season. What's led to that, I don't know. But he turned this game on its side for Purdue, and it had nothing to do with defense. It had some to do with defense, a little bit to do with rebounding, a little bit to do with scoring, but much more so simply the intangible of competitiveness. You know, there was a point in this game where Purdue just needed somebody to compete, to set kind of a competitive tone for the Boilermakers that would serve kind of as the jumping-off point for them to actually get back in this game, and that was Eastern. And if you watch the game, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't need to hear me describe it to you because you saw it. It was obvious. He was the guy who kind of jump-started Purdue competitively more than anything else. And that's where leadership lies. And I think Nojel Eastern is a really good leader. You know, maybe he's not had the season he's wanted to have in some ways. He talks about playing more freely and not thinking about things other than what's right in front of them. I can't claim to know what he's talking about there, but that's his theory on things. But tonight, today, he was great, and he was Purdue's emotional and effort and competitive tone setter, and that's what Purdue needs from him every time out, and largely what Purdue gets from him in general anyway that people overlook because he's not scoring sometimes. But he was really good. He was the reason Purdue was back in this game, to me. Purdue needs more from its big guys. You know, obviously Jalen Smith is an NBA player who's playing college basketball right now, but he was the best player on the floor for Maryland. Purdue didn't get enough from its two big guys, Matt Harms, Travion Williams. I think they only got 14 shots, and shot totals don't tell the whole story because that's not what you get in offense. That's what you get on like putbacks and running the floor and whatnot. Shots and good offensive touches aren't necessarily the same thing. And, you know, Purdue just didn't get enough opportunities for those guys. They didn't produce on the opportunities enough that they did get. And Purdue just needs more from them. They are Purdue's best player between them. They're Purdue's two-headed best player, and Purdue just needs more productivity from those guys. When you're playing on the road, you need your best players to be your best players, to start the game well and to end the game well. And Purdue didn't get enough from those two guys. That's not just on them. That's on the entire offensive structure. When things operate as smoothly and cleanly and efficiently as possible, everybody benefits, specifically the players you're trying to get the ball to. So Purdue just needs to do a better job in the future of getting those guys opportunities to be productive, and they need to do a better job producing. They know that. Purdue knows that. And if you watch the game, you know that. So that's kind of what I got. I've reached my destination here, West Lafayette High School, for their basketball game tonight. So hope everybody has a good night. Hope somebody found some value in this podcast analysis simply off of watching television. For GoldenBlack.com, once again, this is Brian Newbert with your Golden Black Radio Express postgame podcast brought to you by Purdue Federal Credit Union, Fouts Purdue Bookstores, First Source Bank, East End Grill, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So thanks a lot, everybody. Appreciate you listening. We'll talk to you again after Purdue hosts Illinois. I can't remember what day that game is, but I'm sure you'll figure it out. Thanks a lot, everybody.